Visit them at WetlandSons.com. This is In Focus on News Radio 1350 KMAN.
And good morning, everybody. Brady Bowman with you on this Wednesday morning, 9:07 on a sunny day here in Manhattan. And if you ask some people in the state, have any questions or comments, give us a call, 75-537-1350. And I am here with USD 383 school board member Kurt Herman and Superintendent Marvin Wade. Gentlemen, welcome in to the studio this morning.
Thank you.
I mean, what do we talk about? It's not like anything happened last night.
Well, I'm thrilled to death to hear about the legislature came through for us last night, and it's kind of been a long time coming, and I'm glad that and all of our local legislators, I'd like to thank Tom Phillips and Tom Hawk and Sidney Carlin for voting and overriding the veto, and so I think this is great. Some of the tax cuts that are about 6-7 years ago, there were about 65,000 LLCs in Kansas, and with the tax breaks now, there's over 330,000. And so I think there's going to be a flurry of LLCs being dissolved here pretty quickly. But good news. And now hopefully just kind of wait and see how this funding formula fits in with that.
I appreciate you mentioning those legislatures because I was planning on mentioning that. Another one, Susie Swanson, Clay Center, was also another area one that voted in favor. Ron Hyland voted against. He was the only one of our area voted against. Marvin, your thoughts?
Well, it's good to see. As we were talking about right before the program, just recognizing that $1.2 billion tax increase, a lot of that money's already going to be spoken for. I mean, it's very exciting. We want to see those funds. But, when they were talking about, $900 million shortfall over a couple of years' time, that those funds were needed just to keep things going. In some ways, we're celebrating almost like it's Christmas and we can do everything we want to do, and we won't be able to do that. But at the same time, it's a whole lot better than being in this huge hole that the state's been in for quite some time now. So excited about that. And as Kurt said, the school finance build, see where that goes, that $293 million for the next 2 years, see how that, how that holds up against the muster of the Kansas Supreme Court and, the decision they need to make about adequacy.
And that's a good point, because that's one thing about this that we still need to figure out the formula and how all that's going to work out. But at least now I feel like educators and people who care about public schools and have those views can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief knowing that, well, that the funding's there to do something now. Now we can kind of move on to the how.
Yeah, now they've got that tax increase piece that's going to benefit a lot of areas, not just the schools. Next piece is the school finance piece, get that done. And what we've seen so far has been that there's been the conversation about the old formula and how people preferred that. And it seemed the legislators listened to that. They studied the old formula. And a lot of the aspects of the old formula are coming back into what's sitting on the governor's desk now.
Well, and a great example of that, too, is that, that our funding formula actually has been adopted and is being used by other states right now. So we kind of set the standard for a lot of other states as well. So I think that the previous formula will probably come back, and it's probably mostly in its current form when we left.
And we know later in the program that Director of Business Operations Lou Foster is going to come in and talk more, I think, about the individual lines and some things in the school finance piece, but we're excited about it.
Another significant piece too of that is that we're probably going to have all day kindergarten funded, because it's only been half up until now.
And that's something that's been worked on and talked about for a few years now.
Right. Yeah. Kindergarten all day, fund that all day. And then some pre-K funding too. I think we'll probably go with that.
I'd add too that we mentioned the legislators earlier. Well, a lot of work this session as far as compromise, and there's always that initial posturing. People knew what needed to be done, going through the back and forth and what needs to be added to get certain people to vote, and all of those behind the scenes things that are difficult, that I don't know how many people are happy with every single thing that's in there, in either the school finance or the tax increase, but a lot of work done to try to get it to the point where it could pass. So again, I appreciate the work they've done, because I know in talking to some of our legislators how frustrated they've been at times with just trying to get something done.
Well, and for almost a third year in a row, it's been kind of overtime in the session for area legislatures, and they've been up late. I mean, you're seeing some of these news releases come out, and they're time-stamped at like 2 a.m. Are you guys – I know one part of this – of this legislation from last night, as far as the override, that they combined kind of the tax bill and the school financing bill. Do you guys think that kind of played a part in getting this passed and getting something going?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it probably. I mean, they're kind of interrelated because of the Supreme Court ruling. They were basically required to do something for that, and without, even if they just refunded or reinstate the formula without the funding to go to fit into it, because that was the formula worked previously. It's just they didn't put the money into it to make it work. So yeah, I think they're interconnected.
And invariably the conversations came around, well, we can identify things that we need, but where are we going to get the money from? So right. Yes, they were connected.
Yeah. And looking back at the vote, just a recap for some folks who maybe didn't catch it last night, it was a 27-13 vote in the Senate, 88-31 in the House, and as soon as the Senate made that vote, the House made that vote just about an hour later. Were you guys kind of surprised? I was kind of surprised with the speed of things last night, even though we're in overtime and you're kind of thinking, well, they could have had this done a long time ago, but that it really seemed to snowball last night and had a lot of momentum.
That's how I felt, too, because I'd heard that the Senate was going to meet at 6 o'clock, and I didn't know – I hadn't heard that when the House was going to meet, and I knew that it looked like House might be short some votes for the override. And then this morning, found out what happened.
Yeah.
And even I'm like you. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, and even the Speaker of the House voted in favor of that, so that was – that was kind of surprising. They just needed 84, and they got 88. Any questions, comments, concerns, give us a call, 75-537-1350. Brady Bowman with you here with USD 383 school board member Kurt Herman and Superintendent Marvin Wade. And got some other items to discuss, a lot of things. Everybody looks at the summer as like you guys aren't doing much, but thinking about what we talked about before we went on, seems pretty busy still.
There's a lot of things going on with our facility study, the looking at growth and what our facility needs are for the future. Got a lot of activities going on for staff being trained, for students, especially with the science, technology, engineering, and math. Got a big program going on with K-State during the month of June. Just a lot of things.
There's a lot. And one thing that I think that I always hear a lot since I've been on a board now, this is my 10th year, and every year in June, it always seems like we go on this big spending spree, and it's not that. It's just that we're really careful with our funding throughout the year, and then once we get to the end, because we're actually one thing we and I'm proud to kind of announce, I guess, unless the public has missed this, but we're only raising our school meal prices by a nickel this year per meal, and we haven't raised it in like 4 or 5 years now. So we're putting in new windows at the Lee Annex. They still have the old single pane windows out there, and that's kind of significant too, because when we went through the bond issue, we our goal was to not use the annexes or mobiles anymore, but we've grown enough now where we're starting to trickle back out into those.
But just glancing at the agenda, do you have a school board meeting tonight?
Yes.
And that'll be at what time will that be?
Starts at 5:30.
Yep. Yeah, 5:30 is going to be the recognition of the Teacher Leadership Academy graduates, and then at 6:30 is our regular meeting. And that Teacher Leadership Academy, it's a great program we've got in conjunction with K-State and staff of 383. They've gone through the program for about 2 years now. Those teachers have earned a master's degree, done a lot of leadership studies, and not just in looking at administrative positions, but how can they be better, stronger leaders in education in the community. And I've been able to go to some of those classes with them, and just an excellent group. And a couple of the people that are being approved for new positions this evening are graduates of that program, that Christy Tim at Bergman and Eric Abamas at Lee are both coming through the Teacher Leadership Academy program, and they've been hired as assistant principal MTSS coordinators at those two buildings. So it's a great program, and I love the fact that our staff are taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I think an interesting thing for tonight, too, is that we have a report from our nurses and our aides, nursing office report, or nurses' aid report. Sorry, I'm kind of giving bad description of that. But they work extremely hard. And just to give you an example of how much work they do, at Manhattan High School last year, we had over 16,000 students that were seen by our school nurse in the last year. And all of our schools combined, over 73,000 times we've had our nurses assist children in our district overall. So we really appreciate our nursing staff and the great job they do.
We do have a special recognition tonight. Diane Clark has been picked as the Kansas School Social Worker of the Year by the Kansas School Social Work Association. So, you know, great recognition for her to be picked as the number one social worker in the state. So
very nice.
Yeah, that's great.
I have a lot of friends that work in social work, and you can't say enough about the work they do and what they go through, and pretty much across the board, it all comes from a lot of heart.
Oh, it does. And I've had opportunities to meet with our social workers this year a couple different times. And the things that they do, helping students and families and staff and whatever plans they have for the course of a day, sometimes often just change at the drop of a hat. And they've got to take care of crisis situations and really do provide a lot of support. And one of the things we talk about is making sure they take care of themselves, because the stress levels they're under as they help others, just have to make sure they take care of themselves. And, you know, great group of people, and, you know, it's great to see Diane get this recognition.
Not a position for fame and fortune at all.
No, not at all.
It's particularly important, too, since we have Fort Riley, so many students that are tied to Fort Riley. And, you know, I think their help they give the students is, you know, some of the parents are being deployed, or sometimes even both their parents are deployed, and so that's a real important piece for those kids.
Very, very much so. And, you know, I look down at the clock. It's already 9:18. That time has already flown by. Let's go ahead and go to our first break of the hour. Talking schools here on In Focus.
KMAN Morning News is presented by Strecker Nelson West Gallery. Visit